What an appropriate song, Steve. I don't know if you planned that, but it couldn't have been planned better. One of our passages today is about remain faithful until death, and we'll receive a crown of life. We're on a series right now, The Seven Churches of Asia, and last week we looked at the Church of Ephesus. And one of the things that I would really, really want to drive the point home as we cover all of these are letters to individual congregations and to Christians, and see how it applies to us here at South Valley, the different letters, but also not only can they be applied as a congregation, I like to boil it all the way down to us as Christians. Last week we looked at the Church of Ephesus, and they had strayed. They had, as it said, lost their first love. And they were just kind of going through the motions. Today, we're going to look at the church at Smyrna in Revelation 2, verses 8 through 11. And Smyrna was just a few miles north of Ephesus here. Kind of hard to see. We're still monkeying around with the lights and the PowerPoint system. We've had about a month of it, maybe, I guess, and still figuring out some of the best ways to project this. One of the things that Smyrna was known for, their area, was myrrh. And I don't know, I've never seen anything in the research that's where they got the name or anything, but myrrh was used in an anointing medicinal oil. And that whole area was rich in this. And this is one of the gifts that the wise men brought to the baby Jesus when he was born. Gold, which obviously is a very valuable offering, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh was this anointing oil. It had medicinal properties, and this area was very rich in this. And this is one of the things, when we think about this letter, this will kind of play in the back of our minds. It was located about 50 miles north of Ephesus. In fact, all of these churches were not very far apart from each other. It was the birthplace of Homer, who wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey. It's not some little podunk of a town. It was well known even during its day. One of its residents was a man named Polycarp, and he was from there. He had been mentored earlier in his life by the Apostle John, and Polycarp would go on to be an elder there in the church at Smyrna. He also, later in his life, wrote a letter to the Christians. It's not a wholly inspired letter, but a letter of encouragement that we still have with us today, to the Philippians. And he was a tremendous Christian, tremendous leader, and here's a man that would be influenced by the Apostle John. As a young man growing up as a Christian, he had the opportunity to know the Apostle John, and their lives would overlap. And I just wonder how many times, especially when the persecution was starting, how many times the words of John would come back to Polycarp, because it would be Polycarp that would be martyred. He would be killed in AD 155, and one of the things, the last recorded words of Polycarp was, 86 years I have served him. and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my King and Savior? You threaten me with a fire that burns for a season, and after a little while is quenched. But you are ignorant of the fire of everlasting punishment that is prepared for the wicked. I wonder, and this is something we can't prove, but I just wonder, the letter that was written here to Smyrna, if Polycarp, if it went through his mind about the persecution, about remaining faithful until death. And all he could have done to have saved his life is to recount his, recant on his Christianity, is to deny Christ. Here is an old man, 86 years old. He's given the opportunity to continue living. Those persecuting him, they don't get it. Because he says, 86 years I have served him, and Christ has never done me wrong. And I just wonder if those words, be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life, came through to Polycarp at this time. And he understood, this fire that you're, and he was burned alive. Actually burned alive. This fire that they're burning him with will be extinguished in a short time. But the fire that they are ignorant of, as he says, is going to be everlasting. And that's the one you need to worry about in his eyes. There was no condemnation of this congregation, only acknowledgement of their good traits, their good works, knowing that they are going to be going through persecution. There's no, you did this good, but it was only good works and encouragement to the Christians here in Smyrna. These are, and I wish it could show up better, these are a picture of some of the ruins in Smyrna. And I find it interesting, a baptistry was left over from the ruins in Smyrna. Revelation 2:8, this is the beginning of our text here, says, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life." There's credibility there. Here, these words that are they're getting ready to read, all the credibility you need is in this first verse, in this first sentence. These things say the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. Who else can make that claim? Nobody. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but not on his own doing. If anybody has the credibility to say these things, the authority, the power, it's Jesus. Just in the previous chapter, before the letter started, Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is." He is right now. Jesus hasn't been on this earth for 2,000 years, but he is. And who was? He was from the very beginning. The Gospel of John the Apostle, who penned these letters through holy inspiration of the Lord, started the Gospel of John out. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning. At the creation. Before the creation. So this Lord who is now, and who was all the way back, and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the words coming from this all-knowing, all-powerful Lord. Starts off, I know your works. We talked a little bit about this last week. It's going to be in future letters. I know your works. That's good and bad. I know your works. I know what you're going through. A lot of times people go through things and they just wonder, does God know? Does God care? He knows. He cares. But also, the things that we do that we wonder if we're getting away with, the things that we're doing that we squeaked by and got away with from other people knowing, may even fool ourselves at times that we're okay. I know your works. But these are good. These are good ones. How many times do we do things and we feel unappreciated? We do things that maybe nobody ever sees, nobody ever acknowledges. The Lord knows. The Lord knows the times that you keep His word. The Lord knows the times that you're doing things, not only in word, but in deed also. I know your works. Tribulation. I know the tribulation you're going through. During this period of time, there was a tremendous amount of persecution on Christians. If the Jews would have had their way, they would have been, the Christians would have been eliminated. The Romans were carrying out an awful lot of the persecutions. I know the tribulations you're going through and your poverty. But you know what? You're rich. I know what you're going through. Have you ever been through a situation like that? Maybe economically? I've never had money problems. I've had calendar problems where there's been more calendar than there was money. More days on the calendar before payday than there was the money. Had plenty of money, just too many days to make. That was the problem. I know the poverty that you're going through. I know the shortcomings you have. But you know what? In my eyes, you're rich. Don't have two nickels to rub together, but you're rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. How many times does Jesus criticize and call hypocrites, people that claim to be one thing and are something else? That they don't live up to it. I read, for my sake, every Sunday, I'm very much aware of James 3:1, about let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will incur a stricter judgment. People that say one thing, people that teach, people that do this, but then live another way. The Lord is criticizing those. I know your works. I know the tribulation you're going through. I know the poverty that you're going through. Oh, by the way, you're really rich. In my eyes, you're rich. And I also know the blasphemy of those people that are doing the persecuting against you. They call themselves Jews, but you know what? They're really of the synagogue of Satan. Wow, that's strong. That's some strong words right there. Not just that they're wrong. They are of the synagogue of Satan. He's giving acknowledgement to these people. These people that wonder sometimes, does God know? Am I going through all this stuff with people being unaware? Are we just going to be persecuted off the face of the earth? The Lord knows. Revelation 2:10, and I so appreciate the song that Steve, we'll just call it brilliant song picking. I don't know if Steve realized I was going to be going over this verse today, but that last, you know, that last song we sang before the sermon about being faithful until death. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Isn't that that anticipation? Isn't the anticipation one of the worst things? You know, you got to go to the dentist. The anticipation is worse than most of the time the problems that you've got to go through. The anticipation, don't fear those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. May be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. A short period of time. Not tribulation for actually a week and a half. Not 10 24-hour days. You're going to have tribulation for a short time. It's going to end. But eternity is a lot longer. And he says, be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of righteousness. I wonder how many times, if he did, this verse went through Polycarp's mind. An elder of the church there in Smyrna who would be burned alive. And I wonder if these words of John, the man that had mentored him as a younger man, if it went through his mind to remain faithful until death. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 and 55, Paul writes, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful concept to put it in perspective. As I'm getting older, I'm feeling the effects of just age. I'm feeling the old football injuries coming back to haunt me. We have a running back here that broke his ankle and in football, and you're going to bounce back. You're a young man. I look at all the injuries. Rick deals with people every day recuperating from surgeries as a physical therapist. This mortal, we have mortal bodies. They wear out. They get old. They don't work. But this mortal is going to put on immortality. The tribulation that they are suffering is for a short time. But eternity is forever. And I love the concept, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh Hades, where is your victory? Is that all you got, Satan? Death? Is that all you're coming at me with? Oh death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? If that's all you got, that tribulation, that pain will end. Be faithful until death. Matthew 10:28, Jesus says, and do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Amen. That's who we fear. Don't fear the Romans. Don't fear these people that might kill you. You know who you got to fear is the one that can affect your soul for eternity. Death is temporary. The pain that we would suffer in death will be over like that. But not for eternity. That's who we need to fear. That's who we need to put our stock in and our treasures in. Psalms 118, verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Man can do a lot to us. Man can beat us. Man can take away our possessions. Man can, in fact, everything we have. Everything we have can be taken from us. Our health can be taken through various ways. Accident, age, illness, disease. Our friends, our family can be taken. Our riches can be taken. We can lose, we can be robbed, it can burn up in a fire. We could lose it in the stock market, the economy could tank. Our riches can be taken, our family, our health. Everything we have can be taken except our, I don't know what you want to call it, your integrity, your values, your character, your faith. When you lose those, you give them away free of charge. You give them up. Nobody can take them. Amen. Nobody. When we lose, when we find out that we have no more faith, that we have no more integrity, any more character, no one's taken them from us. We've given them up. The Lord is on my side. What can man do to me? He can take my life. Goes back to the first Corinthians. Oh, death, where is your sting? Is that all you got? In verse 11, ending up, he who has an ear. This is how the letter to the Ephesians ended. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. That is comforting. That is comforting to know that when we die and when we face judgment, we don't have to worry about facing that eternal death. Amen. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. This is letters to congregations of Christians. If you are a Christian, this applies to you. Be faithful until death. Every one of us face a trial. Every one of us face an obstacle in our lives. Some of us are facing literal giants, like David and Goliath. There are some of us right now today that has walked in this door with a battle in front of us that maybe nobody else knows we're fighting. Every one of us fights our own dragons. But Jesus encourages us, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Great words to a Christian. But you got to be a Christian. You got to be in the body. If you're not, if you have not put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, if you're not a member of the church added by the Lord Himself, you need to be. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you're facing some of the things, maybe different than the church at Smyrna is facing, but if there are things in your life that we as your brothers and sisters can pray for you, help you, assist you, help you fight that fight. let us. Let those needs be known. If you've been attending worship with us and have decided to make this your church home and would like to identify with us here, please let that be known also. If you need to repent of your sins, whatever your need, let it be known while we stand and sing the invitation song. Steve?